Good morning, everyone. My name is Elliot, and sometimes I preach here. I'm on the lead team, and I also went to Regent College, where Paul also went to school and got my Master's of Divinity degree there, so I mastered divinity up there, and Paul is kind enough to let me preach sometimes. And today, Happy New Year, by the way. What better day than the first day of a new year to talk about living the good life? I'm going to be continuing a series that we started way back in September on looking at the entire Bible as a single unified story that points to Jesus. And we've been calling it God's story, our story, my story. Thinking of the Bible as the story of the entire world that makes sense of our individual stories. And most of the sermons that we've given during that series have been on stories. A lot of the Old Testament is narrative. It's narrating historical events that happened. But in the last few weeks, we've kind of gotten away from that into a few different genres that you find in the Old Testament, like the Psalms and like prophecy. And today we are going to continue with that theme of not preaching on narrative. And I'm going to speak to you about wisdom literature, which I am including under that heading, Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. And I was talking with Tim Land during the greeting time, and I was telling him that I was going to give an overview of wisdom literature and that it would be on Proverbs, Job, and Ecclesiastes. And he said, "Aren't you going to include Song of Songs? Isn't three books enough?" No, I'm not going to include Song of Songs, even though sometimes you will see Song of Songs listed as a wisdom book, but it's kind of an in-between book. Sometimes it's included, sometimes it's not, and so I'm going to speak on Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. So, wisdom books, wisdom literature, give instructions on how to live a good life. As I mentioned, much of the Old Testament is narrating the story of Israel and of God's interactions with Israel. But wisdom books are not narrative, they are instruction. And usually they are, the format is an older person giving advice to a younger person, usually a younger man, about how to live life. And we don't necessarily have an exact correlation to ancient wisdom books in our modern world. The closest that we get is probably all of the self-help and how-to literature that are bestsellers every year. But they're a little bit different from wisdom literature because most focus on technique, on how-to. They give you tips and tricks on how to accomplish various goals that you have, how to get healthy and wealthy and have a happy marriage. In short, they basically ask how can I conform reality, the world around me, to my desires? How can I get what I want? But the wisdom literature of the Bible flips that around and asks the opposite. How can I conform my life, my desires, my soul to the way the world is, the way God created the world? And so it doesn't just focus on technique. It asks, what is the good life? It focuses not just on tips and tricks that you can use to get wherever you want to go, but it focuses on the destination. Because if you don't get the destination right in your life, your efforts at living the good life will be in vain. And wisdom books say that the way to the good life is through wisdom. So, what is wisdom? If you could put the first slide up. It's that. That is the Hebrew word for wisdom, transliterated into English, chokhmah. That's a central word in the wisdom literature, especially Proverbs. That is what you want to have, what you want to do with your life, is to have chokhmah and live by chokhmah. And this word can generally be described or defined as competence with regard to the realities of life. Life has certain realities, things that you need to navigate, situations that you need to find out what to do in, and chokhmah is having competence with regard to those realities. So, the wise person, who is a major character in the book of Proverbs, is somebody who lives by chokhmah. And you can define the wise person in this way. The wise discern how the world generally works, and they act in accordance with it. They live with the grain of the universe. They don't ask, how can I just get what I want? What are some tips and tricks that I can use to try to conform reality to what I want? But they ask, how did God make the universe to operate, and how can I live in accordance with that? Just as there are physical laws, there are moral laws. And a lot of the Proverbs that you see, if you read through the book of Proverbs, kind of go on this, are organized toward this theme in various areas of life. Work hard and you'll prosper. If you're lazy, you'll be poor. Avoid foolish people. Don't be a foolish person. But wisdom is not just about right and wrong. It's about making good judgments in the gray areas of life, like who to marry. Should I take this job? Should I buy this house? How much should I save? Where should I put my money? Things like that, where there are not exactly clear-cut answers on what the right thing to do is. Tim Keller, who's a pastor in New York City, defines wisdom as knowing what the right thing to do is in the 80% of life situations to which the moral rules don't directly apply. That's wisdom. There are many areas in life where it's not clear-cut what the right thing is to do and the wrong thing is to do, and wisdom is competence with navigating those situations. So, if you want to be wise, you don't just apply rules all the time. You don't just apply a principle all the time. And a classic example of this that you see in Proverbs is Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Now, a lot of Proverbs give advice to deal with various situations in seemingly contradictory ways, but 26, 4, and 5 are a classic example because they are right next to each other, and they seem to contradict each other. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. So, seems pretty clear cut. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. Don't respond to a fool in kind. And then, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So which one is it? Well, wisdom is knowing what kind of fool you're dealing with. Sometimes you're dealing with the kind of fool who you should not answer. You should ignore them. You should get away from them as quickly as possible. But other times you're dealing with a foolish person who you have discerned would perhaps be able to benefit from instruction or from more engagement. So it depends. And if we think about it, the Proverbs that we have in our day are kind of like this as well. If you could go to the next slide. Too many cooks spoil the broth. which means, of course, there are certain tasks where a lot of people being involved in them messes it up. And then many hands make light work. Which one is it? Well, it depends on the task that you're dealing with. And that's what Proverbs is, and that's what biblical wisdom is. It's not necessarily applying the same rule over and over, but it is about learning how to discern what kind of situation that you're in and what which proverb to apply to that situation. So the opposite of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, the main character besides the wise in the book of Proverbs is the fool. And you could say, defining foolishness as doing the opposite of wisdom. So the definition of fools is the opposite of what the wise do. If you could put up the next slide. Fools ignore how the world works, and they act instead in accordance with their momentary needs and desires. So whereas the wise take time to learn how the world generally is, fools don't care about that. They say, here's what I want. I want to figure out how to get it. Doesn't matter how the world generally is. This is what I want, and I will go after it. And that is foolishness, according to the wisdom literature of the Bible. And foolishness is no joke, guys. If you look at the newspaper, if you still read the newspaper, or if you get your news online this week or even today, just think about what you see in terms of the stories that you see in terms of wisdom. How many of the stories that you see are a result of somebody doing something that is foolish? Somebody was in the wrong place at the wrong time with people they shouldn't have been with, doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, maybe smoking things they shouldn't have been smoking, and they ended up doing something extremely foolish. And foolishness, like I said, it's serious business, and it will even, persisted in over time, will lead to death, because it is living outside of the way the universe was made to work, living against the grain of the universe. So that's basically the message of the book of Proverbs, is be wise, don't be foolish. And there's a third character, the simple, who is neither wise nor foolish, but could become either. So the Proverbs has instructions for the simple as well. And I think if I were to want to publish a bestseller, I would just take the book of Proverbs and I would maybe rearrange it a little bit topically and maybe update some of the references to farming, and, you know, it was mostly farming back then, what most people did. So I'd update some of the references to be more modern, and I'd call it The Secret of Chokmah, because people like to know that they're being let in on a secret, so they'll buy the book. And Chokmah kind of sounds exotic, so that'll appeal to people. So that's my idea for a bestseller. You can take it if you want. Republish Proverbs as The Secret of Chokmah and watch it fly off the shelves. But another message of wisdom literature is that there are limits to our ability to find wisdom. If you read the book of Proverbs, for the most part, it's very clear-cut. If you do this, then this will happen. But there's also Ecclesiastes and Job in the Bible. So most Proverbs tell you that basically if you're wise, you'll be successful. They tell us we live in a certain kind of world where living with wisdom is living with the grain of the universe. And this is the principle of just retribution. You get what you deserve. But Ecclesiastes and Job tell us that the world doesn't always work this way. And you see it a little bit in Proverbs, a few Proverbs scattered here and there, like Proverbs 13, 23, which says, "The field of the poor may yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice." And so it seems to be giving the impression that even though many Proverbs say if you work hard, then you'll succeed and you'll become wealthy, there are a few Proverbs here and there that say, actually, it's not quite that simple. Sometimes, if you work hard, it can be the results of your hard work can be swept away through injustice, people who are more powerful than you abusing their power. So that is why we have Ecclesiastes and Job. Ecclesiastes, you could say, questions the primary narrative of wisdom leading to success that we see in many of the Proverbs. There are exceptions to the rule and to the way things should be. And Ecclesiastes is centered around a different word, which you can put up. It's called hevel. And hevel is the well-known word that is translated in the first couple of words, a couple of verses of Ecclesiastes. The NIV translates it meaningless, but it occurs about 38 times in Ecclesiastes. So he's very focused on this word. But the Hebrew word hevel doesn't just mean meaningless. That's just one translation of it. It's actually the word for breath or vapor or smoke. And so he uses this word as a metaphor for many of the things that the teacher, the author of Ecclesiastes, sees in life. So sometimes he's trying to say, so life is smoke, meaning you try to grab onto it. It looks like you might be able to grab onto it, but you try to grab onto it and it's gone. It's fleeting. Sometimes he's using it to say it's almost like a mist, like you can't tell what's going on. You can only see a few feet in front of you. So hevel, I wouldn't say that it always means meaningless. It can also mean absurdity or futility or senselessness. And the reason to avoid the translation meaningless all the time is that the teacher, the author of Ecclesiastes, isn't saying that life is completely meaningless and that there's no reason to do anything. He's saying that some things in life may have a meaning, we just can't find out what it is. People don't always get what they deserve. So it's not a cynical way of viewing way of looking at life. A lot of people, when they read Ecclesiastes, think that it is just a cynic. But actually, the theologian J.I. Packer, who has taught it up at Regent College for many years, says that Ecclesiastes is his favorite Old Testament book because when he was a young man reading it and starting to know more about the way the world operated, he said it didn't make him a cynic. He said it saved him from cynicism because it taught him that while there are many things in life that don't work out the way you think they will, that there is still purpose in life, but that somehow, sometimes, we are unable to find it out for ourselves and in our own power. So the one classic verse from Ecclesiastes is 8:14. There's something else meaningless, hevel, vapor, smoke, that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is hevel. It's smoke, it's breath, it's vapor. You try to figure out why these things happen, and you just can't figure it out. And just like Proverbs, Ecclesiastes speaks to a lot of our human situation. There was a story that came out a few months ago, a story of a well-known bank that had a crazy sales culture. They had these marks that they wanted their employees to meet, of opening up new accounts and getting new credit cards in the hands of customers. And these marks that they had set were completely out of line with reality. There weren't enough customers out there who wanted new accounts and new credit cards. And so this, instead of recalibrating their expectations with reality, they decided to give credit cards to customers who did not ask for them. And eventually they were caught and they were punished as a bank. But the interesting thing about this story that I think relates especially to Ecclesiastes is that there were some employees while they were doing this, while they were doing these things that later came out and that they were later punished for, some employees fought back against this culture and did not want to do it and said that it was wrong. And these employees, many of them were fired and they were not given a recommendation. In fact, there was a black mark put against them that whenever they applied to work at another bank, they this new bank looked them up and they found from their previous employer that they did not do their job. But what they were not doing about their job was that they were fighting back against this crazy expectation to do something that was illegal. And that's in part what the kinds of situation that Ecclesiastes is talking about. It says, basically, you can order your life by wisdom. You can live with the grain of the universe the way God has meant it to operate and still not be automatically successful. And then when we turn to the book of Job, that asks, what does this mean about God? If we live in a universe that we think we can live by wisdom the way that God made it to operate, but sometimes it doesn't quite operate that way. So the story of Job is a story in which Job, everything that Job has is taken away from him, and then Job's three friends come along, and they assume that he must have done something wrong, because he obviously had everything taken away from him, so he must have done something wrong. They assume that the universe always worked this way, that it worked on the principle of retribution, where people get what they deserve. And Job also assumed this, which is why throughout the book he asks God for a chance to defend himself. But then at the end of the book, when God finally responds to Job, Job doesn't explain why all these things happened to him. He doesn't explain why Job is suffering. Instead, God basically says that he doesn't rule the universe by based on some principle that we can figure out for ourselves. He basically says it's complicated. He says, Job, if you had to do my job for a day, you couldn't do it. That is God's response to Job. And that's not the response that we usually want. We want to know a reason for why bad things happen. But that is the full-orbed picture of biblical wisdom. Proverbs says, be wise,